from my sleep. And hadst thou willed, thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to thee belongs praise, for thou created, then proportioned, and ordained and decreed, and gave death and bestowed life, and made sick and healed, and made well and afflicted, and sat upon the throne and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure. And provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to thee, to be joyful in worshipping thee, to be desirous of thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom thou wilt.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah. Salamun alaikum, and may Allah's peace be upon all of you, dear friends. On today, Tuesday, you are listening to today's special from IRIB English Radio, and today is 21st of Shawwal, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 11th of Ordibehesht, 1403 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 30th of April 2024 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As the ritual of this program, at first we listen to a verse from the Holy Quran and we learn about it more. For today, we choose chapter 34 of the Holy Quran, that is chapter 7, verse 6.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وَيَرَى الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ الَّذِي أُنْزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ هُوَ الْحَقَّ وَيَهْدِي إِلَى صِرَاطِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ.
And those who have been given knowledge, see that what is revealed to you from your Lord is the truth. and it guides to the path of the exalted in might, the praiseworthy.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Knowledge gives men insight and awareness. The sign of a real knowledge is to find out the legitimacy of the Quran and accepting it. In former verses, the words were about the unaware, blind-hearted persons who decisively denied the resurrection with those clear evidences and they try to belie the divine verses and to make others astray. In this connection, the verse under discussion, that is, verse 6 of chapter 34, refers to scholars and knowledgeable men who pay to acknowledgement of the divine verses and encourage others to accept them.
Rabbi salli, Rabbi sallim, ala Taha al-muallim, nab'u khayrin, shamsu haqqin, min as-samaa. You're the light of my eyes, you're the answer to my cries, you're the dawn that chased away my darkest night. وإن لم أراك يا حبيبي عين روحي دوما تراك نور من الله كي يضيء لنا الحياة يا حبيب قلبي يا محمد يا إمام دربي يا أحمد يا شفيع ذنبي طه
Dear brothers and sisters, as you know, in this series of today's special from IRIB English Radio, we look at the status of teachers from the Islamic point of view. Our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, introduced himself as a teacher. Islam lays so much stress on seeking knowledge and also on giving the respect to the ones whom imparted knowledge. The most respected and dignified profession in the world is teaching. Teachers are the architect of a nation. A teacher is a man of obedience and respect. Teachers can very easily decide what they want the nation to look like and educate the masses accordingly. They have the ability and the strength to fight the odds and make the nation powerful. They are the people behind the world's development. Teachers are not kings, but they know how to make kings. It's only a teacher who can transform a simple boy into the like of Plato, Aristotle, Einstein, Wordsworth, and many more.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum and welcome. This is Ali, your host, and we shall be talking about the value and position of teacher. The position of a teacher is highly and significantly valued in Islam, to the extent that the position of a teacher is compared to that of the prophets in the speeches of many religious leaders. The teacher's word opens the inner eye and increases the human insight and places the great values before his eyes. The teacher's effort stimulates the desires and directs the hearts and the growth of the student's understanding and awareness and makes them his servants. As the Prophet ﷺ said, I learned some words, so I became Allah's servant. And in the manifestation of the position of the teacher, Imam Sadr alayhi salam said, all beings on earth, marine creatures, and everything big and small on earth, the sky, seek the teacher's forgiveness and mercy. It was said that one of the celebrities has already said, why do you worship your teacher more than your father? A person replied, my father brought me from the kingdom to the earth, but my teacher raised me from the earth to the skies. A teacher is called great by the medium of Allah's grace in the kingdom of heaven. I study knowledge and practice in the knowledge of Allah. I pray in the kingdom of heaven very greatly. If the teacher walks in the path of values and his work is divine, he actually raises spiritual children and he comes out of the sterility and benefits from them as long as the traces of his existence remain, without detracting from the reward of perpetrators for their work.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
On the continuation of today's special, we learn one of the most important teaching strategies of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, and that was using illustrations and demonstrations. Prophet Muhammad used to make a point through illustrations and demonstrations for a better and easy understanding. Through this, he was also able to make it more striking and memorable. For example, Allah's Messenger said, "I and the one who looks after an orphan will be like this in paradise," showing his middle and index fingers and separating them. In the hadith, Prophet Muhammad accompanied his lesson on taking care of orphans through demonstrating his point. Through this way, Prophet made the lesson more memorable for his followers. One inspiration to help us re-establish our intention as teachers, and that is this sentence: teachers are respected contributors to society. There are many kinds of teachers, most of whom are passing down beneficial knowledge to their students, whether spiritual or secular. When referring to those learned in religious knowledge, the Prophet said, "The scholars are the heirs of the prophets." This is because they are sharing and preserving the teachings of the prophets and the messenger of Allah. If you are a teacher and you are teaching things like life skills, science, math, history, or languages, you are fulfilling a communal obligation. You are preparing the youth to step into those crucial roles that will keep our community growing and thriving. For that, you deserve thanks and respect.
You know this narration, "Seek knowledge, go to China," you know, "Seek knowledge, Hatta al-Sheen," you know,
yes,
that narration?
Yes.
It's a beautiful narration.
Yes.
And part of it means travel and go far away to alien, difficult, unknown places to come back with knowledge.
Yes.
Prophet would beautify the pursuit of knowledge, not just the answers that were given.
Mm.
So many times the companions were told to go through certain experiences.
That's right.
Prophet could have easily told them, "In that battle, we're going to win that one. You're going to fight in that one." He could have told them easily what's going to happen. He has ilm al-ghayb. He could do it, no problem.
Yeah.
But he wants them to go through the experience of acquiring knowledge, because that is tarbiyah for the soul.
Yes.
When he said "go as far," he means go anywhere you need to gain knowledge. He once said that wisdom is the lost property of the believer.
Oof.
It belongs to you, but you don't have it right now. And so you getting it is not you gaining something new. You're reclaiming what was your right.
Yeah.
Imam Ali said the same thing in Nahj al-Balagha.
Correct.
Ilm, wisdom is the lost property of the believer.
Fantastic.
It is yours. It is yours by right.
Yeah.
So go and seek it. Go far away from it. And that's the feeling that was, you know, encouraged in the early years of Islam. Mm. Don't be rest and resigned on what you think you know. Go as far as you can to bring ilm back.
And it's what sometimes it's what you learn through those difficult journeys. You know, the end destination, you might not find that treasure, but it might be through that journey. I remember when he beautifully says, the most difficult journeys have the greatest rewards.
Ah.
So when you see that, when you go through struggles, you learn more. You know, you get to my ripe old age and I could tell you I'm not a university student. You know, I came out of school and that's it, education wise. But I learned more through my life, through the difficulties and struggles. Because it's what you learn down here is what you'll gain when you're up here.
So true.
So, and it's those narrations and it's knowing that God is always with you and showing you these signs and feeding you that knowledge. It's a being observant towards it continuously, having your blinkers off and understanding that every moment throughout the day you can gain knowledge and wisdom just by looking at the birds and the trees and the passing skies and the clouds and the water that's flowing. So alhamdulillah, being open towards it.
He's speaking to Kumail bin Ziyad, Imam Ali alayhi salam. He's talking to him. He's saying to him, Kumail, what do you think is greater, knowledge or wealth, about this point that you're mentioning, right? About how you can look all around for knowledge. And he says to Kumail, look, if you say it's wealth, if you said it's wealth, wealth is proportioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and given according to everyone's rights.
Yes.
Okay, your rizq. But knowledge is on you to keep increasing no matter how much has been given towards you. If you say it's wealth, wealth fades and diminishes, but knowledge sustains and keeps you going. If you say wealth, wealth is something which it is in the nature of wealth to decrease. Wealth is in the nature of ilm to increase. And then he says that line which you were saying reminded me. He goes, he points to his chest.
Yes.
And he goes, come here, look at me. Ha huna ilmun jama'a. Ilm is filled to the brim over here.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of today's special. We meet you soon. Fi amanillah.
Mustafa, anta nabiyul amin wa sayyidul mursalin rahmatan lil alamin jitta bil haqqil yaqin anta nabiyul amin سيد المرسلين رحمة للعالمين جئت بالحق اليقين.
Take pieces of bread from me and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all power. IRIB English Radio.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Shiraz, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very noble and beautiful hadith, which has been narrated from the Holy Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This hadith is about education and the benefits of education, but to be more specific, it's about the benefits of education in childhood, right? And how learning in childhood is better than learning when we are adults. Of course, the Holy Prophet Muhammad has lots of hadiths, there's lots of hadiths from the Prophet, from other people, from other the infallibles, regarding learning in general, and specifically how we shouldn't stop learning until we die, right? We know there's a famous, we've all heard the famous hadith, which says that one should learn from the cradle to the grave. Min al mahdi ila lah. This is a famous hadith from the Prophet. Nevertheless, this doesn't mean to say, this doesn't imply that there's certain times which are better for learning than others, right? That it isn't, these kind of hadiths don't contradict what we want to say today, right? It simply means that we should always be learning, we should always be obtaining knowledge, but at the same time, there's certain times which are better for learning than others. And the best time for learning is in childhood and in youth. Why? It's because at this time, we can better memorize and learn and remember what we learn. The Prophet Muhammad says, the similitude of one who learns in his childhood is like carving on stone. What a beautiful hadith. The Prophet Muhammad compares the mind of a child to stone, and the information and knowledge which is being placed in the mind of the child to the letters which are being carved in the stone. Just like the stone, if we carve something in a stone, it will never be erased, or it's very difficult to erase it and wipe it out. What we learn in childhood is difficult to obliterate and to forget. In contrast, the Prophet says, whereas the similitude of one who learns in old age is like writing on water. If you write something on, let's say, the face of a stream or the face of a lake, it immediately is obliterated, right? So this tradition and this hadith clearly indicates that if we can, we should learn when we are in childhood. Of course, there are stories of people who began learning in their old age and when they were old, and they were still able to attain high levels of education and learning and become great men of wisdom. Like, for example, there's a famous story of the famous scholar named Sakkaki, who began learning when he was an old man, but nevertheless he was able to attain a high level of learning. But these are only exceptions. There is also a famous scholar named Mr. Jahangir Khane Qashqai. He was a famous scholar, and he began learning when he was an old man, when after he had crossed the age of 50, and he was still able to attain high levels of learning and education. But these were exceptions. We shouldn't try to delay learning based on these few exceptions which have been mentioned in history. Rather, the norm is that people, they generally tend to learn better when they are of a young age. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the benefits of learning in childhood, in the words of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Shiraz, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد
وآل محمد.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد عودتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانه.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم. Respected brothers and sisters, welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Karim, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Here we are with brothers Ali Nasir, Hussein Ruhullah, Hassan Nasrullah, and Fawad Haider. Everyone is fine?
Yes, sir.
All right, Hussein is fine. Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Fawad Haider?
Fine, sir.
All right, and Hassan?
Fine, sir.
So everyone is fine, alhamdulillah, here. So brothers and sisters, we hope you are fine and happy, inshallah. So inshallah, today we will talk about ayah 79 of Surah An-Nisa on page 90. So Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, Ali Nasir, like you, we recommend our brothers and sisters to open their Quran, inshallah, and listen to the recitation along with us, right? Let's go and listen.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ما أصابك من حسنة فمن الله وما أصابك من سيئة فمن نفسك وأرسلناك للناس رسولا وكفى بالله شهيدا.
That was amazing. MashaAllah, MashaAllah, the reciter, MashaAllah. So I will read it, this ayah, and let's see what Allah Almighty says in the Book of Guidance in the Quran in this ayah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ma asabaka min hasanatin famin Allah. Wa ma asabaka min sayyi'atin فمن نفسك وأرسلناك للناس رسولا وكفى بالله شهيدا. So what does Allah Almighty say? ما أصابك من حسنة فمن الله. Whatever good things, good happenings, okay, adventures befalls you is from Allah Almighty, okay. وَمَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ سَيِّئَةٍ فَمِنْ نَفْسِكَ. And whatever ill or evil befalls you is from
your nafs.
Your nafs, yourself. مِنْ نَفْسِكَ, yourself. وَأَرْسَلْنَاكَ لِلنَّاسِ رَسُولًا. O Prophet, we sent you as an apostle, a messenger to mankind. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا. And Allah suffices as a witness. Allah is enough as a witness. Okay, in the previous ayah, like أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتُ وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدًا. So they, like people had this belief, okay, talking to the Prophet. They were saying that Allah Almighty says from there, Allah Almighty quotes them, okay, says what? وَإِن تُصِبْهُمْ حَسَنَةٌ يَقُولُوا هَذِهِ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. Whenever good things happen to the people, okay, they would say that, وَإِن تُصِبْهُمْ حَسَنَةٌ يَقُولُ هَذِهِ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. They would say, oh yeah, this is a good thing. Then, وَإِن تُصِبْهُمْ سَيِّئَةٌ. If something bad happens to them, what would they say? They would say that, يَقُولُ هَذِهِ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. Oh Prophet, you did it. You're in charge of this. Why did you tell us? Why did you tell us, okay? Actually, this kind of, it means that they are complaining the Prophet, okay, this way. And this is not good. So Allah Almighty says in this ayah that مَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ حَسَنَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Look, whatever good things happen to you, it's from Allah Almighty. It's the blessing of Allah Almighty. Okay? وَمَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ سَيِّئَةٍ فَمِنْ نَفْسِكَ. If something bad happens to you, it's not because Allah, God forbid, نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ, Allah is bad. Allah is evil, God forbid, okay? It happens, Allah Almighty make this happen, okay, to you. No, it's because of you. Why? There is, I think Fawad is going to ask
the
question.
So what if it is, it's something bad happens to you in the mm-hmm. term of punishment?
Look.
So you can blame.
So why Allah Almighty punishes us? It's because Allah Almighty is punishing, He punishes us? Or no, it's because of ourselves.
What? So it's still,
wait.
So still the bad things that happen to us is because of our own acts.
Yeah, your own sayyah, your own sins. Why does a teacher, for example, a teacher had given you homework, okay? So you didn't do your assignments. Why does the teacher punish you, for example? Is it because the teacher is bad? Huh? You have not done what you were supposed to do, okay? So it means that sometimes because of imperfection, we are not perfect. So we might not know a lot of things, okay, the reasons, or we might fall into mistakes, okay? So these mistakes have like what? Results. The results will be like punishing from Allah Almighty, sometimes reminders from Allah Almighty, okay? These things. So we don't have to think like Allah Almighty, God forbid, He is our enemy. So He makes us fall into trouble. He makes us feel pain, for example, these things. No. وَمَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ سَيِّئَةٍ فَمِنْ نَفْسِكَ وَأَرْسَلْنَاكَ لِلنَّاسِ رَسُولًا. That's the last point I want to say. Allah Almighty tells to the Prophet that وَأَرْسَلْنَاكَ لِلنَّاسِ or لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ.
لِلنَّاس.
What does nas mean?
Humankind.
People. Humankind. Not only Muslims, sir. So our Prophet is the last messenger of Allah Almighty, and it is not a prophet for only and only Muslims. All right, only and only for Muslims. No, for the humankind. Rahmatan lil
alamin.
That's all. Okay. Refer to the Tafasir books, inshallah. Learn more, the details, the explanations. All right. Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, Ali Nas.
Yeah.
And our brothers and sisters.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا
القرآن. Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
So, time to go to
Tajweed
rules. Let's mention some of the important ones. Ma asabaka. Ma has a light sound, an a sound. Asabaka has an a sound. So this A sound is called heavy sound. The A sound is called light sound. So we got light letters. We got what?
Heavy letters.
Heavy letters. Whenever you have the heavy letters with the alif mat or with the fatha, you pronounce them heavily. So these are the heavy letters. One. Huh? Tell us the eight heavy letters.
Of.
Let's in order. Kha. Ra. Huh? After Sheen, what is there?
Sad,
Adad, Ta, Va, in order, all of them. Ta, Sad, Da, Ta, Va, Kha, Ra, Ghain, and the final one? Qaf. Okay, so these eight letters. So whenever they have Alif Mat with them, you should pronounce them with an A sound. For example, Asabaka, do not read it Asabaka. Asabaka. When you pronounce it with a heavy sound, the pronunciation of the letter sad as well becomes correct. If you say asabaka, it becomes a sin. Asabaka, it becomes a sad. Very easy. Asabaka. All right.
Yeah.
That's it. مَا أَصَابَكَ. The mad is not wajib here. So, مِنْ حَسَنَةٍ. About تَنْوِين النُّون ساكن, we have a lot of, like four different rules, I mean. Like, إِدْغَام, إِخْفَى, huh, tell us.
إِظْهَار,
and إِقْلَاب. So, مِنْ حَسَنَةٍ, مِنْ حَسَنَةٍ. نُون ساكن plus ha. It matters. The letter that comes after نُون ساكن or تَنْوِين matters, okay? It tells you what rule you have to apply here. If there is ha, ha, hamza, ayn, ghayn, kha, change nothing. Just read the way it is. If, fawa, tell us, the six yarmunun letters.
Ya, ra, mim, lam, waw,
nun. So these five, six letters, whenever they appear right after the tanwin or nun sakin, what rule do we apply, Hussein?
Idgham.
So what does idgham mean?
To hide?
No. Are you sure?
To merge.
Or join them together. Good job. Yes. Thank you so much. Okay. So, you merge, you join them together. For example, we have... we don't have it here, yes? Oh, فَمِن نَفْسِكَ. Look. وَمَا أَصَابَكَ مِن سَيَّاتٍ فَمِن نَفْسِكَ. Nun, ساكن, plus nun. Merge them. فَمِن نَفْسِكَ. So, what if we have the letter ba? Hasan. The letter ba right after the tanwin or nun sakin. You apply the rule?
Iqlab.
Iqlab. You change the sound of nun to a meme sound and then hide the sound of meme. Pronounce it hiddenly. Very simple. So we don't have an example here for iqlab. But for the rest of the letters, you apply the rule?
Ikhfa.
Ikhfa. I didn't answer. What does it mean?
It means to hide the sound
got
of.
Got it. So the nun sound or the tanwin. Tanwin is actually the nun sound. So how do you hide it? N sound is pronounced with an nasal, with a nasal sound. Read it. This is nun.
Yes.
Hide it. Okay.
Exactly.
So, for example, you got this example. وَمَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ حَسَنَةٍ. This way. Just murmur with yourself again. Okay? This is the nun sound. مِنْ حَسَنَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ
إِخْفَاءٍ
فَمِنْ نَفْسِكَ. Look, nun is pronounced correctly here.
Yeah.
But with إِخْفَاء, it is not pronounced correctly. Correctly, I mean completely. So, فَوَتْ وَأَرْسَلْنَاكَ. أَرْسَلْنَاكَ. Ra is pronounced
heavily.
تَفْخِيمُ الرَّا. Alright.
Yes.
Whenever the Ra has a fatha or there is a fatha sound before, you pronounce it heavily. أَرْسَلْنَاكَ لِلنَّاسِ النُّن مُشَدَّد. رَسُولًا changes to
رَسُولًا.
رَسُولًا. In case you stop here.
Yes.
So, Jim is there. Jim tells you, you can
stop
or continue. If you stop, رَسُولًا. The tanwin fatha changes to
alif mad.
Alif mad. How do you read it? Rasulan.
Rasula.
La. Okay. If you continue, tanwin plus waw.
Rasula.
You join it to the next
wakafa
word. All right. You apply the rule idgham. Merge them.
Rasula wa kafa billahi shahida.
Shahidan also changes to shahida.
Alif mad.
I have a question.
Yes.
So ra, if it's sakin. If there's any other vowel before the letter waw, like, and fatha has a kasra, then it is still pronounced heavily or lightly.
Look at the letter right before.
Depends.
No, at the letter right before the ra.
So
there is a hamza.
So ra's so ra's vowel is not important.
The ra, if it has a vowel, you pay attention to its vowel sound. If it is sakin, you look at the letter before it, the sound before it. If it is a kasra, for example, ir, you read. Okay? Or ar, ir, ar. Look, e sound, a sound. If there is an a sound, ar, heavily. If there is an e sound, lightly, ir. Got it?
And what about dhamma?
Dhamma, that's heavy. Or. So, that's it. Let's practice the recitation. And alhamdulillah, we've mentioned the important tajweed rules. Ready?
Yes.
Brothers and sisters, listen and repeat, please. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
ما أصابك من حسنة فمن الله
ما أصابك من حسنة فمن الله
وما أصابك من سيئة فمن نفسك
وما أصابك من سيئة فمن نفسك
وأرسلناك للناس رسولا
وأرسلناك للناس رسولا
وكفى بالله شهيدا
وكفى بالله شهيدا
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
أحسنتم. Brothers and sisters, thank you so much for being with us. We hope inshallah this session was useful for you. Ali Nasir, Fawad, Hassan and Hussein, thank you so much. Thanks a bundle. Inshallah, Allah bless you, inshallah. Thanks for being with us. Allah Almighty bless you all. See you in the next session. Thanks to IRIB English Radio and Sevilla International Schools Network. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
The ocean of dua.
In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters, I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In the previous edition of the program, we had a look at the different parts, different phrases of Kumail supplication in details. In this edition, however, we will have a look at the general frame of supplication of Kumail. Dear listeners, in the previous episode, we mentioned that the prayer of supplication, the structure of the supplication of Kumail, consists of three stages. The first stage is like a preamble in the supplication, and it prepares the grounds for the supplicant to pray to Allah, to implore Him, the Exalted, and to stand before Him. In this first stage, which is like a preamble, in this introduction, Imam Ali alayhi salam begins with two requests. The first is forgiveness, and the second is his remembrance and thankfulness and proximity to Him. And we said that both of these things are necessary if the one is about to stand and intends to stand before Allah, to implore Him, to ask Him. The second section of this preamble involves the presentation of need and desire and raghbah toward Allah. And Imam Ali alayhi salam first says that there is no escape from Allah, and secondly, there is no refuge with other than the Almighty Allah. And in the third section of this preamble, Imam Ali alayhi salam mentions the misfortune and wretchedness of man. And this wretchedness is undoubtedly the outcome of man's own deeds. This is why Imam Ali alayhi salam calls for the Almighty Allah to forgive him his sins, because these sins act as impediment in the way of acceptance of supplications. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "So I ask you by your might not to let my evil deeds and acts veil my supplication from you, not to disgrace me because of the hidden things you have come to know from my innermost secret, not to hasten in punishing me for what I have done in privacy of my evil acts and wrongdoings." In the fourth section, Imam Ali alayhi salam emphasizes on a noble concept which we have mentioned, and that is man cannot find shelter during hardships and misfortune with other than his master. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "O Allah, who do I have other than you so that I may implore him to remove my affliction and to have regard for my affairs?" In another section of this first stage of supplication, Imam Ali alayhi salam makes two confessions. Confessions of wrongdoings and the confession that man has no argument against Allah in transgressing his boundaries, in violating his commands, and in following his lowly desires.
Ya Allah, Ya واشتد على العزيمة جوانحي واشتد على العزيمة جوانحي.
In the sixth and actually the last section of the preamble, after one has confessed to his disobedience, sins and wretchedness, and after one has declared that there is no refuge from Allah but with Him, and after one has sought Allah not to punish him on account of his wrongdoings and offenses, and in one word, after displaying his humility and indigence before Allah, the Exalted, the servant declares that he has turned to his master in confession of his sins, regretting them, broken, apologizing out of knowledge that there is no refuge from his misfortune and hardships except with Allah, the Lord of the worlds. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "Now I have come to you, O Allah, after my shortcomings and my immoderation toward myself. I am regretful, broken, apologizing, pleading for forgiveness, repenting, acknowledging, submissive, and confessing. I find no place to flee from what I have done, nor any place of escape to which I may turn in my affairs, other than your acceptance of my excuse, and your entering me into the compass of your mercy. With this phrase, this first stage of the structure of the supplication of Kumail, this preamble comes to an end. Servant is now prepared to stand before Allah to supplicate and entreat Him. He has affirmed all this by the statement, "Now I have come to you, O Allah." So, this preamble, this first and beginning part of the supplication of Kumail, which is rather long preamble, prepares the ground for the servant to be ready to talk to the Almighty Allah. This fact teaches us this important matter, that if we want to talk to someone like the Almighty Allah, if we want to be the one who deserves to stand before the Almighty Allah, first we have to prepare the grounds. We have to make confessions. We have to realize to whom we're talking to, and then we are ready to talk to Him. Then, only then we are allowed to present our needs to Him. First, we have to realize that we are needy. We have to realize our neediness, and then we have to present this neediness to Him, to the one we are about to talk to. Now, in the second stage, this second stage is the one in which Imam Ali alayhi salam mentions those wasail and means by which he seeks recourse to the Almighty Allah. It seems that there are four different means mentioned in this second stage. The first means is the previous grace and mercy of the Almighty Allah. The second means is our love for Him and our confession of His oneness and His unity, confession to monotheism. The third means is our weakness in resisting the punishment. And the fourth means is the seeking of refuge by a slave who has fled from his master and disobeyed him. We will, God willing, talk about each of them in details in the next episode. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.ir. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you through all my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say La ilaha illallah. Never forget to say La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله.
Answering a dance and questions. and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah, who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah,
who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. We're welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I'm Atta, the host of this program. Shaykh Agha Mohammadi is the special guest speaker from the Islamic House of Qom to answer today's questions on Islamic beliefs. Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. Welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin. Once again, salam to you and to all dear listeners.
Okay, Shaykh Agha Mohammadi, for today's program, we have a major question. Does really the religion of Islam have problem with Judaism? I mean, is there an ongoing confrontation or conflict between these two religions, Judaism and Islam? And if not, why? Iran as an Islamic land, or Islam in general, you know, is so much against Israel and Israeli lands.
Okay, it's a good question, and there is a heavy propaganda over it, you know, the
yes.
propaganda machine of the Zionists, actually. They work on it, and they try to, before this recent developments, actually, before the October the 7th. So especially they used to emphasize that we are very modern, very sophisticated, we are nice, and these people, these Muslims, they're not humanitarian, they're misbehaving us, we are the victims of Holocaust and these things, and the Muslims are bad towards us.
Okay.
This is the propaganda that is being broadcasted and repeated over 70 years.
Mm-hmm.
Here the point is that there is nothing to that much actually to be ascribed towards the religions themselves. So what is there is the political interest.
Mm-hmm.
The political issues which are there. So the interest of people, interest of countries is what matters. And then in order to bring justification for the acts that they have, the countries, the regimes they have, they may use ideologies as well.
Okay.
So what has been taking place all these decades is that the Zionists, first of all, Zionists, they are not Jews.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Joe Biden, you might have heard about it. Joe Biden had in an interview, he said that I asked my father about Zionism, and my father told me, you don't need to be a Christian you don't need to be a Jew to be a Zionist.
Uh-huh.
So he said, I'm a Zionist,
okay.
even though I'm not a Jew.
Okay.
So what we are seeing in Israel is Zionism,
mm-hmm.
is not Judaism
okay.
or Judaism. So first of all, we have to differentiate between Judaism and Zionism.
Zionism.
Right now, there are lots of Jews everywhere around the world protesting against what Zionists do in Israel,
mm-hmm.
in the occupied Palestine. And
Islam necessarily is not against Judaism, you mean?
And even right now, we see that some mm-hmm. people introducing themselves as Muslim Zionists. You see in Facebook, in different
Muslim
social media,
okay.
yeah,
what
they are introducing themselves as Zionist Muslims or Muslim Zionists, meaning that politically and we have such approach. The
they are with Zionism, you mean, as Muslims?
I said, here you have to understand what Zionism is.
Uh-huh. You mean the extremes?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we may discuss it in separate sessions. The history of Zionism, what they believe and what they want for the world.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very specific ideology, a kind of secretive ideology that has a different specific approach towards the world, and a kind of right which they see for themselves. The right that sort of considering others not being equal humans.
Oh.
So giving some specific rights to themselves and depriving others from the very rights. So we heard from different Israeli politicians.